You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast, made possible by the generosity of Tom Evans and the art and science of Lightbulb Moments.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's my great pleasure, Tom, to now make a sort of a blend and a segue from the Big Village radio show to the Moments of Light segment within the Big Village radio show on a Monday night, as we welcome into our conversation Azura. Good evening to you, Azura, or good afternoon, probably, where you are.
Yes, it's afternoon. Hello, nice to be with you.
Lovely to have your company. Tom, shall I kind of relax into the background a bit more and let the Moments of Light bless us with illumination and enlightenment and let you do your thing?
That'd be great. And if you can keep a watchful eye out for Laurie, who I think might be joining us in the half hour or so, that'd be fantastic too.
Be my pleasure. I'll be here for you, and I'll re-emerge later on, and I'm looking forward to a wonderfully uplifting, inspiring conversation.
Thank you for such a seamless handover. So, good evening, good afternoon, Azura. We've got the right
good
time.
We've got... Yes, that in itself is a miracle.
Isn't that great? No, I've been looking forward to speaking to you for a few weeks now since we first connected on Skype, and I should tell you as well that the you connected with me through Mike Quincy, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah, and I had a lovely chat with Mike on his show on Friday. I'm just going to share that link with everyone in the chat room. So there's all these circles within circles, and in fact, just I don't know if you listened to the hour just before this. There was a lady, Jeanette McKenzie, who is also. She was just saying how what a coincidence that you were coming on, because divine feminine, divine masculine, and divine union is exactly where she's coming from too. And Carl's put this program together that seems to be helping all these souls gravitate towards each other, which is just marvelous.
It's wonderful. It's great. And I didn't get a chance to hear her because I've actually been in transit and didn't get back to my office in time. So I'm sitting you, beautiful. Flagstaff, Arizona, and I am in my car talking
to you.
Oh,
you're in the car. So you're in the car calling in.
I'm in my car right now. So,
What's the weather like over? Because this is it's been raining in the Global Village show. So, what's the weather like over there at the moment?
It's absolutely beautiful. It's probably about 80 degrees and sunny and perfect. Just perfect.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we've got loads to try and pack into to our time this evening, this afternoon. But I kind of wanted to start right down at the... really get to know you from before you started doing this work. Because on your website, it says right at the top there, claim your birthright. You deserve an extraordinary life. Now, I happen to know that you're living an extraordinary life right now. But I'd love to know how you claimed your birthright and how you got into all of this.
Well, I am actually, that came from a book I was published in called How Did You Do That? Stories of Going For It. And it's a book with a number of other authors. And they had asked me to write about my work and how it started. And that's where Claim Your Birthright actually comes from. And what I discovered on my life journey, which I think so many of us do, is that we learn a lot of things along the way. I did hear a little bit about what you were speaking about before, the conditioning in early childhood and a lot of the patterns and programs we actually come into this life with, many of which, of course, serves us beautifully, and then there's others that limit us in some way. And I find that to be often what creates our greatest lessons in life, for us to come back to who we really are as divine beings. And for me, to claim your birthright really means uncovering or rediscovering our true self before all the limitations of our worldly life seems to drop in on us. And that's what that all initiated from. Claim your birthright as a divine being deserving an extraordinary life. And I believe that's so for everybody.
And did you come in knowing what your birthright was, or did you find it as you grew up?
I think for me personally, I found it as I was as I grew up. I think I've known a lot of people that had an absolute knowing very young in life that they were really these extraordinary, magnificent beings, and they were more or less trying to fit into this human role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was me. That seemed to have happened more with me later on as I started my spiritual path.
And was it a steady growth, or was it one of these light bulb moments that we talk about on the show?
I've definitely had light bulb moments. and then there's been, you know, periods of time where it's just, well, still, it's an ongoing process. But there's been many light bulb moments, and that really gets your attention, doesn't it?
Oh, it does indeed, yeah. As you say, you feel them in your water. And I was
right.
just saying before, as well, you might have missed this, is that I think the moment of a light bulb moment is actually a moment of divine union. And, of course, their nature is that they're sporadic. But it seems to me that the work that you're doing and the work that I'm doing is exactly the same thing, just with a slightly different label.
Yes. Yeah, I think our goal and outcome is the same. And there's, you know, many different ways to approach this, and different people will be attracted to, you know, different pathways. And that's what's so wonderful, that there's so many people in the world right now that have made available some extraordinary ways for people to reach that ultimate goal, to come
Absolutely.
Back to that truth. Yeah.
So listen, could we explore that word divine a little bit? Because it's when this happens a fair amount in spiritual circles, but also in life in general, that we get used to using a word, don't we, without knowing what it really, really means. And I get dictionary.com word of the day through every day, and that really enlightens me. You think you know a word, and then you get the real meaning through. You think, well, I didn't know it so much. So before we talk about divine union, could we talk about the divine feminine and the divine masculine? And just what's the difference between, we all think we know the word masculine, and we all think we know the word feminine, but what's the difference between it and then putting the word divine in front of them?
Well, you know, in our world, in the physical world, to me, I see that the feminine and the masculine, you know, very much broken up into woman and man, you know, pretty practically applied. And yet, when I put the word divine in front of it, to me, that represents the divine masculine aspect of Creator and the divine feminine aspect of Creator, or the divine father and the divine mother. And I know there's many interpretations, but as it's been presented to me, my understanding of it is the divine feminine is very much a magnetic attraction type of an energy. It's emotion, it's flow, it's inspiration, it's intuition, and it's the physical expression of Creator. And the divine masculine seems to be more of an electric kind of an energy. It is mind, it's action. There's a difference between those two in creation. And right now it seems that we really have lost a lot of that natural flow, that natural order of nature, because a lot of the origination of the natural order of nature, let's say, has been interrupted. So we have imbalances, I think, even in our world around the divine feminine and masculine, not even speaking about men and women in general and how we express in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more the divine, it's more the God aspect for me. It's
That's
more the divine father and divine mother, yeah.
Yeah, because Jeanette was talking earlier about coincidences, and by absolute coincidence, right in front of me at the moment is two tarot cards, the Empress and the Emperor, and the Essence, both those cards, and right next to them is the Hierophant, which is the connector. So I didn't realise this, but I've started this show with those intelligences sitting right in front of me, which is quite incredible. And I've just been reading some material on that recently, so I got them out just this morning just to explore with them, which is incredible. So really, the divine feminine, if I'm understanding this right, the divine feminine, the divine masculine, are things that as males and as females we have full access to. And for example, you could have a male, a masculine person who is just tapping into the divine feminine, and a female person who's tapping into the divine masculine.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
You need to tap into both to get access to this state of divine union.
I would say yes.
Okay.
In order, you know, to be actually, and that's something that's been a very big message lately, just in the last week. Speaking of coincidence, is that the divine union is really the balancing and the harmonizing of those two aspects of ourself within ourselves. And when we have that in some kind of a balanced manner, then we have access to all those qualities that the Divine Father and Divine Mother carry, which is part of us. So I do think it's very important to have the balance of it. And I think that a lot of people are aware of that, and they're really striving for that to be so within themselves. We simply feel more complete then, whole and complete. Yeah.
So, you know, like, do you play golf? Do you ever play ever smaller golf club?
You know, I live on a golf course, and I don't play golf.
Or tennis or something like that. You know, but you know when you're in that sort of zone when you're playing a sport?
Yes.
And, you know, you just get it. Is the divine union then a kind of what you know when you're out of it, but you kind of sense when you're in it because everything just completely flows?
Yeah, and there's a peacefulness inside.
Yeah,
there's less of a need to look outside of yourself for fulfillment. There's a definite deepening of a peacefulness inside, and when that occurs, there's so much more to give from love to the world.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's been my experience, and others that I've spoken to. Yeah.
Now, is the awareness effect then, this is your process by which you can help people get to this state of divine union, is that right?
That's a big piece of it, but I utilize, divine union is actually came to me as the essence of Yeshua and Magdalene. And so I channel that the way they have come to me as one soul, the balance, the twin flame. And a lot of the teachings have been around how important it is at this time in the world to reach that within ourselves. Yes, if that answers you. Does that answer your question, Tom?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
So how long have you been channeling Yeshua and Magdalene?
Well, I've been channeling for 20 years, and Yeshua came through initially probably about, 9 to 10 years ago, and within the last 5 years invited me to move into communicating for them as Divine Union and explain to me what that was and why. So it's been a long period of time, but with this particularly, it's been about 5 years.
And the state of divine union that you're talking about, are you in it more than you're out of it, or are you just in it all the time now?
It's something that I think that is always, we always need to be aware of it. And I personally have learned to become more aware of it, and I'm still evolving into it. I can't say I fully understand it, encompass it 100%. No, I think that's quite challenging in this world because we get pulled between our emotions, and then we got to go back into you know, moving out of the ego mind and staying in higher mind. And, you know, there's a lot going on for us all the time. But when there's an awareness of these two qualities that we all carry, and we learn how to tap into it and balance it, it certainly gets easier.
And Yeshua and Magdalene, are they, when you channel them, do you have to go into a different state or mental state, or can you channel them live and raw? Can we bring them into the conversation this evening?
We could bring them into the conversation, and I am a trance channel.
Oh, wow.
And I can actually shift into that if you'd like me to. It might take me
about...
No,
you're not driving. You're in a car, but not driving.
I'm absolutely not driving.
Oh, and that's good to hear.
I'm parked someplace where I hope it's okay to be parked.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran out of time. So, yeah, I am a trans channel, and a lot of the work that is occurring now, even with the belief clearing, is happening while in trance, completely aligned with them.
So
I'm doing a lot of this. So that's, you know, if you'd like to have an interaction that way, we certainly can do it. I would need to be quiet for maybe a minute and get aligned, and then we could begin.
Okay. Well, what we'll do, I'm going to throw, we've got a live chat room going on at the moment. So
mm-hmm.
what I'll do is, what I'm going to do is just throw that open to the chat room. And what we'll do is we'll wait till Laurie comes online. She's still intending to call in, do you know?
Yes, she's intending to call in. I told her at about 8:30.
Yep. Okay. So I'll when she calls in and we have a little three-way interaction, I'll have a little chat with her. And when we're doing that, we'll from now we can ask the chat room to ask any questions, and we'll get get some insight on it, and then that'll give you then space, so we're not left with a 1 minute of silence, which I did do on a radio show once, which was absolutely fantastic, and it was. I said that, you know, I was interviewing this guy called Steve Taylor, who wrote this book called Waking from Sleep, and one of the issues about everything we do is just it's completely noisy. You know, we've got internet going on, we've got chat, we've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, and this sort of stuff, and we're never just quiet. And if you listen to any broadcast, you know, like the TV or radio, it's never quiet, is it? So I threw the gauntlet down, and we had a minute of silence, which was just absolutely magical. So, great that we were able to do this. So tell me really about your work and who you work with, how you work with them. Are you working? You're obviously based in Sedona, out in the west of US. But are you? Do you work worldwide or do you work locally?
I both. Actually, most of my work is done over the telephone or Skype, and I work with clients all over the world. I've had a number of clients in England. I've had clients in Hawaii, you know, all over. So distance is not a problem at all. And when I'm doing my work, I'm really aligning with people through their field of consciousness, aligning with their heart, and there's no separation. You know, we're all connected. And it's so wonderful that more and more people are understanding that. So much of it is done remotely.
Mm.
And, of course, I always want to have people right here with me because it's so nice to be able to meet face-to-face, but it's not always possible.
Absolutely. No, and the Skype is just a wonderful tool, isn't it, the ability for us to connect with people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And more and more now, I just find someone on Facebook, and then within 2 days we're just Skyping. And one of the things about social media, of course, is you can really get to know somebody hugely ahead of actually speaking to them for the first time. You know, we can check their website out, we can check the way that they speak and the way that they think, there seems to be this ability that we get this head connection because we're reading the words, but we're connecting also at the heart and the gut mind level too, which is just incredible.
Yeah, it's so much better.
So Kevin, could you then describe the awareness effect for everybody?
I'd love
to know that, how that works, how it connects in with the divine union.
Sure, Tom. The awareness effect is something that kind of I've evolved into. I've been a student and teacher of consciousness for about 25 years, And I've done everything from, you know, medical hypnotherapy to teaching meditation, many, many different things, as we all have. But when I began this channeling of divine union, I began to get a deeper understanding of the field of consciousness and how every thought, every idea, every memory, as well as every belief, is really a structured pattern of information. And each one of those structured patterns of information resonates at a certain frequency. And what I discovered as being a medical hypnotherapist for years is that I could make a tremendous impact on someone's consciousness through hypnosis and by integrating new information, you know, helping them to integrate into the subconscious new information. But I found it just didn't, it wasn't enough. I knew there was more, you know. I mean, it's great work, but for me, I was kind of driven to find the next level of it. And in my channeling with Divine Union, they began to teach me and show me this field of consciousness. And at one point in time, I saw, like, it looked like a grid, if I can give you a visual. And on that grid appeared to be little black specks. And I asked them, well, what is this? And the response was shadow thought.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, okay. And, well, I didn't really know what to do with that exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So time went on, and I'm, you know, at that point I thought, oh, well, maybe I'm supposed to clear that with my hands. And so when I was doing hands-on healing, et cetera, I would try to shift it, but I wouldn't really know if I had or not, and as it turned out, I hadn't. So the next step of it was they taught me that I can align and shift consciousness into the higher realm, and I believe I'm connecting with my team. You want to call it, you know, my team, those that work with me. And Divine Union is kind of my home field. It's the let's say, pod of consciousness that I naturally am in resonance with.
Mm-hmm.
And when I work with awareness effect, we identify a belief that an individual may not want to keep, okay,
mm-hmm.
Through muscle testing. And I teach them how to do various ways of doing that at a distance so they can trust it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when they identify something they'd like to shift, they have to give permission because it must be done with permission. I then shift my field of consciousness into this other realm, and it's the same realm I go into when I'm channeling and aligning straight with Source. And from that place, somehow that structured pattern of information or that belief, that whole frequency band is deleted. And I can't explain to you how that happens because I don't know, but this is what happens. And I believe what's happening is they are transmuting that lower frequency into unconditional love and aligning with the true light field of the divine blueprint that we all hold. And so as that occurs, then we recheck to see if that belief has cleared, and it has. Now, if it hasn't cleared, what that means is there's a belief under there holding that in place.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where so many different techniques sometimes don't get down to the real change and shift, because we look at the symptoms, we look at what's happening, what seems to be the issue, but very often there's something under there that's really the cause of that issue, way beneath it before it ever showed up. You understand what I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so very often what we'll do then is we will dig a little deeper, and it's very simple, through making certain statements, and get to the underlying core belief, clear that, and then the deck of cards starts to fall. And so I learned how belief structures are built, more than just a belief, but the whole structure of our consciousness. And so that's what happens in the session. It's quite easy for the individual. You know, there's really not anything that they need to do other than make statements and check. But then there's what's important is learning how to be in this new state of consciousness that isn't ridden with a lot of these old programs, and learn how to move away from some habits, old habits of thinking that we can easily fall into. So I give them a lot of tools as a follow-up, as life skills that work very well. But the work is, it's really working at the core level of consciousness, human consciousness, and bringing one back to, you know, non-separation from Creator. That's the ultimate goal. For me, I believe that the main belief structures that keep us in struggle are our beliefs in separation from God.
Got you. And then is that then something that will work not only on individuals but in maybe teams in a business or in families or in relationships? So you get, like, you know, the deck of cards that you refer to, you might have more than one person involved in the chain.
Yes, I work with groups. I work with couples, and I don't. Well, for instance, with a couple, if they are having some real strong struggles around finances, let's say, it would be the best thing to do is to identify each one of their belief structures individually that can keep them in this place of struggle or lack, clear them individually, and then they come together as a couple and they see what they may be holding in their consciousness about that union, that relationship that could interfere with prosperity. And then we address that. And so, you know, there's different ways that I approach it.
Is this something that you're teaching others to do as well then, Hazura?
I'm sorry? I didn't hear that.
Is this something you're teaching others to do?
You know, I'm not teaching others how to do it yet, but I believe that's coming up pretty soon. A lot of people are asking. And I'm looking for the guidance to find out the best way to do this. And I'm certain it's going to happen, you know, in short term, because I can't do it all. You know, I really would love to have as many. We need as much help on the planet as we can get, you know.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit. On your website as well, I'm also drawn to this this lovely phrase, the New Human Project. What's that all about?
Well, it's as simple as when I first put up my first website, I wanted to have a theme. And I kind of asked, what is that theme? And what I heard in meditation was, it's a new human project. It is about helping to advance the consciousness of humanity. That's my passion and my mission. And for me, you know, that's what we're all evolving into, is new humans. We're moving into a whole new arena of how we create, how we live, how we feel, how we manifest in our lives. So that's it, the New Human Project. And it's really meant to be an umbrella for a number of different things.
And do you find in Sedona, where you live, there's a good appetite or a healthy appetite for this new way of thinking?
Oh, Sedona is a metaphysical mecca. It is people come from all over the world to come here for spiritual teachings, to connect with the earth. Many different levels of teachings go on here. And so the work is very accepted, and people travel here just for this kind of thing. Actually,
and then if you were to take the opposite of that on the planet, and you look at some of the places on the earth where, you know, in general, this isn't appreciated. You know, and you look at some of the strife in the Middle East at the moment. How can, you know, we as individuals who kind of get some of this and we've got a message to share, how can we share that with places that really need this new way of thinking?
That's a very good question. I'm hoping that with the internet, et cetera, that people that can access, that do have a sense of seeking for something new, They recognize maybe that what's happening in their personal world isn't necessarily working for them. You know, having the internet is the greatest matrix for us to communicate through right now. And I think that that is a great way. But also, you know, one of the things that I always encourage is for people to see others in circumstances that are different than ours. In other words, people that may not understand or may really be living in conditions of quite, you know, can be quite horrific strife. To see them in our minds in their whole and complete God self. Because if we can hold that vision for them, it impacts them. It impacts everything because we're connected. Rather than always seeing them as, you know, under strife or under a tremendous amount of peril. Hold the picture that, you know, we know that they have it within them. And I think that that helps. I believe that helps.
No, it's very sensible there. So that same matrix that you saw, everyone has tapped into it. And if you just put those thoughts into that matrix, they will leak out to the person that needs them. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, because when one person, you know, is doing spiritual growth, we're impacting lots and lots of people because we're all together in this. You know, last night I was actually at Kirtan. Are you familiar with Kirtan?
No, I don't know that name, no.
Kirtan is, it's East Indian chanting in the name of God, and it's done to music, and it's very powerful. And I was at a Kirtan. It was a beautiful group of people, and what was going on was that I was so feeling my human family in Japan. And, you know, just with the presence of this group, I could feel us directing so much love and compassion to them. We know that makes a difference. You know, we may not see the outcome, but we're connected. And it's really important for us to always remember that.
Wonderful. Now, talking about connections, we've got a lovely lady called Laurie who's just about to join us. So I believe we're just coming up to the half-hour jingle, which our producer will play in, and then we'll get Laurie to join us. And maybe
wonderful.
You're listening to the Wizard of Lightbulb Moments, Tom Evans, and his Moments of Light show.
Good evening. Have we got Laurie on the line?
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Good evening. Good afternoon. I love when this technology all works. And Laurie, can you hear Azura? And Azura, can you hear Laurie?
I can hear Laurie.
I can hear Azura. Hi, honey.
Great.
Oh, wow.
Hi.
Oh, I just love it when it works. So, Laurie, welcome to the show this evening. You've been on for the whole half hour, or have you just joined us?
I just joined you about 5 minutes ago. I've been tied up in meetings myself, so.
No worries. So tell us, how do you and Azura know each other? What was the way you got to meet each other?
Well, my best answer to that, it was divinely guided and inspired. I mean, we met through a woman who was putting together a speaking network, and Azura was doing speaking from Colorado, and I think at the point that she met Dale, she was in Florida speaking at a James Twyman event, and Dale decided that Azura and I absolutely needed to meet each other, so she connected us, and we've been clients of one another ever since, and colleagues.
Wow, and I hear that you're a portrait artist, but of a special nature, and that's to do portraits with angelic messages.
Yes, absolutely. All the artwork that I do is divinely guided and channeled. I have absolutely no artistic training, and I have art in 20 countries. And that's all happened in 6 years. So.
In 6 years? That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just put your... And your website's thecrystallineinstitute.com, is that right?
It is, and it's actually changing as we speak to Wisdom of the Angels, which will be much easier for people to remember. So... wisdomoftheangels.com should launch by the end of the week.
And we've been talking about this concept of divine union, and you know, specifically then the divine masculine, divine feminine. Do you find when you're doing this work that you're in that state of union?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's in union with God, with the angelic realm, with... I have, on occasion, had experiences with divine union actually coming in, where Azura's actually been tapped in when I've been doing a portrait. In fact, one time last August, I had to call her because I could tell how powerful it was, and I said, whatever you're doing, don't drive a car. Because I knew they were working through her and I simultaneously with this. So it's quite magical.
That's incredible. Now, this is the Moments of Light show. We've been exploring how lightful moments, which is my angle on all this stuff, is actually when you have that lightful moment, you're in a state of divine union. And one of the things I've been encouraging is that you don't just have these things momentarily, maybe once or twice in your life, that you strive for a state of divine union more often than not. What are the techniques that you use to get yourself into this divine union state?
Well, I think it starts, honestly, Tom, I think anybody can do it, but I think it starts with being clear.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when I say clear, I mean clearing yourself of limited thinking, negative thought patterns, limiting beliefs. And I think that's where my work with Azura has really helped me to excel and to get my art out to the world in a greater way. Because as I first began this, I mean, you might imagine I'm getting guidance to draw, and I'm for 6 months ignoring it because I thought they were, you know, kind of Looney Tunes, those angels of mine, because I had no drawing abilities. And I remember saying to Azura, I don't know why they're asking me this. And finally, when I gave into it, then it was really owning and understanding that I actually was an artist. And so I know I did several awareness effects sessions with Azura and Divine Union, and just to clear any limiting beliefs that I couldn't be an artist, any thoughts that this couldn't be amazingly successful in the world. I mean, think about it from that perspective. You hear the term struggling artist over and over again, and so for me to be able to 6 years later say that I have art in 20 countries, I mean, I really believe that's because I got all those thought patterns offline, and it was through the work that I did with Azura that really I came to a healthier place, a healthier mindset, and then a belief in knowing that there is always that connection, as you say, that divine union with Source. And with that connection, anything is possible.
Wow. So to answer, I'd ask the question before of Azura, this is the way that you your work spreads then, is to get incredible artists and incredible communicators to be, if you like, seeding that through their work, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. And, you know, it's I don't know where it's going to go or what happens very often after people have worked with me, because you know how that is. People come, they go, and sometimes they stay in touch and sometimes they don't. Lori has been one that has, you know, maintained her contact with me, and I've experienced her work, and it's fabulous. So there's a real, I think we have a real great respect for each other and what we're both doing. What's happening, you know, around the world when people finish their work and I don't hear from them, I don't have any way of knowing, which is kind of sad, but I just trust. You know, I trust. I've had so much wonderful feedback, I know good things are going on. That's all. I just keep doing what we're doing.
Oh, that's one of the things about the show that Azura, you're sitting in a car somewhere. I'm not sure where you are, Laurie, but we have this very interactive chat room going, and some of it is talking about the show, and some of it is just some great people also connecting with themselves and multitasking. And there's a little bit of a conversation going on about this thing called the Ascension. And I always ask all my guests this. I'd love to know what your take on all of this is. What do you think of this thing called the impending ascension, which obviously got cancelled recently when the rapture didn't happen?
Yeah, I know. They keep putting a date on it. I don't really think it works that way, but and it hasn't so far, apparently. But I think that's why I'm so on mission with the work that I'm doing, because for me, the only thing that keeps us from that ascending, that place into moving into this higher realm of being, are the limitations that are imposed upon us and that we take upon ourselves. And it's my understanding that before anything is manifest in the physical world, or before we have a thought or a feeling or have a reaction or take action on anything, what's mm-hmm. underlying all of that is our consciousness. And so for me, one of the quickest ways to step into that place of ascension would be to find the most effective and lasting and efficient way to clean up our consciousness so that we're back into that divine blueprint, that divine being that we were created to be, without all the shadows, all the shadow thoughts that we mentioned before.
And so that's, like a tipping point where we get enough people that are all thinking in this way that just then just shows the way for everybody else to follow?
Sure, it's like the 100th monkey theory.
Yeah.
Once you get a certain percentage, and I've heard varying degrees on that, somewhere between 13 and 17%. Once you have 13 mm-hmm. to 17% of the population that holds a belief, that belief is then in the mass consciousness, and anyone and everyone can tap into it.
Mm. That'd be a great name for a website, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I honestly think it's just a matter of when people talk about the ascension process, we often hear December 21st, 2012. Well, that's a date and time, and there are reasons why that date and time was selected by the Mayans. But that may be the tipping point. That may be when we reach the tipping point. What it is it's just a matter of an evolutionary process. So every day things are evolving, and every day we're shifting our consciousness to a higher level of being in the world. And I think that's what the whole ascension process is about. And I think it's separating, we used to say the haves from the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
This is separating the people who have done their work and who haven't done their work. So the people who are clearer are the ones who are ascending in consciousness. And it requires you to do some work. I'm also a spiritual life coach, and I help people, and I can get people to a certain level, and then I can send them over to Azura because she can get them to the next level. Because you can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness that it was created at. And the life coaching work that I do takes them to a certain point, but as we're doing that, even though I'm working with their subconscious mind, I'm also, it's a cognitive process. What Azura is doing with the awareness effect clearings through divine union is literally going up to source and clearing it out of their soul contracts.
Mm. That's so powerful and just incredible that that in the past hour we've been talking about exactly that process with Carl. Is that something he and I shared on last Friday, indeed? And I know Azura, just having spoken to you a bit more now, because we've only spoken about 5 or 10 minutes on Skype, is it's just incredible how similar the work that we do is, although we come at it from completely different angles. And perhaps, and as you say then, what happens is different people get attracted to the different routes, which is just
right,
so healthy. There's so much out there.
Right.
Wow,
what a joyful
show this is tonight. What a great surprise to have you all aboard. So just wanted to know how people can best get in touch with you. I'll start with you, Azura. How people can work with you, what's the process that they get in touch with you, and how does it all start? What's the sequence?
Well, the first thing they can do is they can drop me an email if they'd like. Let me know that they're interested. We can schedule a time on the phone, or, of course, they can call me directly. But to reach me by email, my email address would be aazura at newhumanproject.com. And my website is newhumanproject.com. And we can talk. They can let me know what it is that they'd like. I mean, I'm available for strictly channeling sessions where they sit in the presence of divine union, experience an amazing flow of unconditional love. We can go into awareness effect, belief clearing, and that's, you know, a series of four sessions if we do the belief work. But they can certainly call me and just check in and see how it resonates with them. Phone number to reach me at is 720-260-2445, or my Skype address is Donna Azura. So I try to make myself available and certainly answer questions, and then we can just move forward. It's quite an easy process, actually.
Wow, and that's very healthy. There's so many people in this space that make it difficult for people to get in touch, and I notice you're on Facebook. Did I find you on Twitter as well? I think I might be following you on Twitter too.
I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. And Facebook is Donna Azura.
Wow. And that's sort of not only divine union, but sort of social media union too in that case.
Right. And I also have a divine union page. So
yeah,
we have a variety of things.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And how about you, Laurie? What's the best way for people to get into touch with you? And apart from doing the life coach work, do you also take commissions on for the art?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my favorite things is doing custom angelic message portraits for people. And that's where I will attune with their angels and guides. And they can get guidance on anything it is that they'd like guidance on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll get the message, you know, verbally, and they'll get it on a cognitive level. But the beauty of working with this artwork is that the energy of that message literally gets embedded into the artwork. And so when the viewer looks at the artwork, they're taking it in at a heart level through the emotional body. So all the wisdom is in their energy field, bypasses the cognitive mind. So that crazy monkey mind can't get in the way of the angel's wisdom. It's actually in their field and accessible at all times. And so that's magical.
It's very magical.
Just to reiterate.
It's very powerful. Mm-hmm.
And to reiterate, you had no art training and you were only doing this for 6 years.
Mm-hmm. I've done hundreds, pushing the 1,000 mark, I'm sure, at this point. So I do the individual portraits, the custom individual portraits, and then I also have a whole variety of products that that complement the angels that are in my book, What the World Needs to Know Now, Wisdom of the Angels. And all of that information is available through our website at wisdomoftheangels.com. And that website links to the old one and the new one, so all of the information is there.
Wonderful.
And we're, of course, on Twitter and Facebook and BeliefNet and all kinds of social media spots as well.
Wow, you must be the two most connected people on the planet in loads of different ways.
Yeah. We make sure we're in the web all over.
Yeah, yeah. Literally.
It is the web, isn't it?
Yeah, literally in the web. Yeah, and to help is, you know, the thing, the goal is to be able to assist as many people as we can, you know. We don't have years to sit around anymore. It's time. So we're available.
And let me ask you both then, with all this connectivity, so we've got the connection above, we've got the connection through our internet cables, we've got the connection with the below, with our Mother Earth. How do you keep up? How do you recharge? How do you make sure that your energy is maintained?
Well, you know, one of the biggest teachings I got through Divine Union is allowing and moving out of the world of resistance, which becomes a lot easier when beliefs are cleared because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're really live our lives through reaction and defensive posturing and
mm-hmm.
And when we start to let go of some of that programming, we can relax, and we a deepening of trust and knowing that God is our source, and it's at the core of who we are. And when we can more easily access that, we're in a flow. We're in a place of allowing life to unfold instead of trying to make things happen. That simply doesn't work anymore. And that is that would be one of the first things I would suggest is to give ourselves permission to allow and move out of the resistance to what's happening. And then there's a space for miracles to show up and ease. Life just gets easier when we allow it.
What a lovely concept.
Yeah, that's my put on that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I asked my shaman a while ago, how were we going to get people to come in for the services they need as they're going into fear about the economy and their environment and everything? And her response was, your problem is not going to get people knocking on the door. Your problem is how are you going to take care of yourself when you're so busy you don't know what to do? And I think that really ties into your question. So how do we take care of ourselves when we're that crazy busy? And for me, I think one of the biggest things is being out in nature. I have two incredible dogs, and we go to the park, we walk around the lake, we walk through the woods, and I ask the angels to clear me while I'm out there doing that. And I think that really helps. Getting exercise, moving the body, you know, getting out of the... We can sit and connect with Source. That's wonderful. Of course, that's what we do, and we can sit and connect through all these social media networks and emails and texts and phone calls, but really getting in tune with being grounded in the physical and moving the body and being in nature has been a fabulous tool for me.
So what we're saying then,
ditto that.
Yeah. So basically, the tools to do this are not only free, but they're also healthy.
Yeah. How about it?
Yeah.
Wow. We created all this complexity around our lives, you know, with all this this technology, which is kind of useful because it's making us have these connections right now. But actually, the real, if you like, the fuel that we need to make all of this happen is just sitting out there in nature. And what sort of dogs do you have, Laurie?
I have an English Cocker Spaniel. Her name is Mandy. And then, well, there's Tally. And Tally, we're not sure, so I just tell everybody she's a golden angel. I figure if they can
and
have
she
golden
is.
Angels.
She is. She is a golden angel. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and I've got two dogs, which are I say they're the best writers and blockers on the planet, my dogs. If I get stuck writing, just take the dogs out and it just flows.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. And they insist upon it as well. They seem to know when I get stuck and say, okay, it's walk time, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, we've been joined again. Well, our hour has gone really, really quickly. I guess because we've talked about so many things. And we've been joined again by Carl Munson. I'd like to introduce you both to officially or so hi, Carl, say hi to Azura and to Laurie. I guess you spoke to introduce them.
And Laurie, it's been wonderful hearing you both in the last hour. Thanks for popping into the Barefoot broadcast.
Well, thank you for letting us be part of this. It was beautiful being here. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And it is amazing. Yeah, I think, Azura, you said, the internet is just the most amazing way for people to connect and communicate, and we've been able to do this so easily and so quickly, and it's something to acknowledge, really, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing, and I know we've got listeners in Sweden tonight, and I wanted to thank Magdis, who's in the chat room, who's signed up as a Barefoot Soulmate while she's been listening as well. Sweden, America, UK, I know we have listeners in South Africa as well. It's absolutely wonderful for us. I know you're in your car, but I mean, generally speaking, we can be in our homes or offices, can't we, and connect in this way so easily with the information we want and just bring on the future we want to see.
That's right. That's right. We are very fortunate at this time.
Yeah. So thank you both very much indeed. And thank you, Tom, for bringing for Azura and Laurie to the Moments of Light show within the Big Village show, within the Barefoot broadcast. It's getting a bit complicated, isn't it?
It is indeed. But thank you, Azura. Thank you, Laurie. It's been great to talk to you. And we'll continue this conversation on many levels, offline and online, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom and Carl.
Yeah. You're welcome. Anytime. Lovely to speak to you. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Barefoot broadcast, made possible by the generosity of Tom Evans and the art and science of Lightbulb Moments.